This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Oh, boy, we're having fun. It is, first of all, pure Michigan beautiful out here as we look across the way at East Grand Traverse Bay, broadcasting from Short's Pole Barn. And Joe Short, the founder, who's celebrating his 20th anniversary from starting in Bel Air, is going to come on board quickly and is going to explain to us the two little children's cups of beer.
One more, you've got a flight.
Yeah, there's Joe. When I asked for a beer, I seriously wanted a beer, like a whole big one.
Yeah.
So I think he just wants me to try these.
Well, pace yourself. We got 3 hours today.
Yeah, we're going to be fine, and I'm not driving. It'll be just great. Our 21st annual Paul W. Smith Pure Michigan Tour. It's day two. We find ourselves brought to you by a sponsor that's been with us, I think, from the beginning, ITC. Certainly a yearly sponsor for as long as I can remember of our Pure Michigan Tour, hosted by yours truly. And it gives us all an opportunity, and these places where we stop, but on-air exposure and visibility in key markets and relationships with partnership building. And I tell you what, all of us benefit from the work of ITC. And ITC is pleased to host the sponsorship this year right here at Short's Pole Barn in Elk Rapids, Michigan. People come here and have a ball. I can tell you, just looking around in the place with all of the mugs hanging up, numbered mugs on the wall and on several walls, it's a beautiful location with the seats outside at picnic tables. And it's just fabulous. We couldn't do it without ITC, Grand Hotel, Great Lakes Bay Regional Convention and Visitors Bureau, Destination Ann Arbor, Rocket Mortgage, Pure Michigan, of course, Shepler's Ferry, and Dean Trailways. And Kathy from Dean Trailways is sitting in here with us to make sure that we get everywhere we need to go safely. Kathy, we thank you for that very, very much.
Our road warrior.
She really is a road warrior. She spent a lot of years on the road. So when we talk to each other in the morning and say, "Do you sleep okay?" Kathy is the only one who reliably says, "I slept great."
Right. Most of us can't sleep anywhere but our own bed. She said that she can sleep anywhere but her own bed.
So. It's true. She's had a lot of time on the road. God bless her. Hey, today is National Teacher Appreciation Day. And other than the teachers at, say, the Ivy League colleges, I want to salute all of you for the hard work you do, the important work you do as teachers. We turn our children over to you.
Never, and they can never be paid enough.
That was my next line. You can never be paid enough for what a good teacher does and the impact they have on our children. And there are far more good teachers than bad. The bad ones are the only ones that make the news. But I know there are far more really great teachers than bad. So happy National Teacher Appreciation Day. Know that we are appreciating you. Now, I'm just going to guess. Well, we've got the team. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Renee Vitale right up till noon, then Rich Luzinski takes over. Ray Templin running the controls, Ava DiMaggio making sure all the bills are paid. And so far, we haven't been kicked out of any place or anything. Everything's gone very well.
Still have a roof over our head at night.
Yes, we do.
So far, so good.
You can stream us at WJR.com. You can get the podcast if you can't be here during the broadcast live. And we welcome you and look forward to these days. Got some very nice people that we're going to be speaking with, starting with Joe Short, the founder of Short's Brewing Company, their 20th anniversary. Chris Shepler will be here, president of Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry. David Duilio, professor of political science, director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University. He's got some things to talk about. Everything in politics now is kind of ridiculous, but we'll have him.
It's professional wrestling at this point.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's maybe even lower than professional wrestling.
Right.
Mud wrestling is probably what it is.
There's some honor in pro wrestling.
John Conrad, general manager of the Elk Rapids Marina across the street from us, is going to be here. And our neighbor back in Grosse Pointe, Susie Cooper, along with the J. Lewis Cooper III, Lewis Cooper and Susie Cooper, own that Elk Rapids Marina. So I'm interested in hearing all about it. If we can get over there, we'll go over and see it. But I know that they are big in electric boats, and that's a big deal. That's brand new. I'm not going to ask Ray. Ray said he wasn't talking, so Ray's the boater here in our crowd. Yeah, are you going to talk?
Are electric boats as controversial?
Oh, I didn't think you were going to talk.
Are they as controversial as cars?
Well, it's like they're still kind of perfecting it because, say, if you're in a Lake Huron, you cannot cross all the way across with electric boat.
Right.
I think yet.
No.
It's still a new technology. When we did that one, a remote it, over at the one marina.
Wait, the Grosse Pointe Yacht Club?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They had one right out in the front.
They did have a boat on display, yeah.
Right, and they had also one in
the water.
Susie
told me about it the first time. I didn't know. She had told me before they were doing electric boats. This before I even knew they were into the boating rather than the beer, wine, and alcohol distribution business, which is very successful for them. But they're very big into this boating thing. So we're going to learn more about it when we speak with John Conrad, the general manager of Elks Rapids Marina, and our neighbors, Susie and Lewis Cooper. Now, Marie Osborne checking in. Demolition underway for the big $2.2 billion expansion for Henry Ford Health Systems. They got a great plan, and they need our help, and I hope that people will step up and help them. That's what I'm hoping. Rocky Rechkowski, is he filling in for me one day this next week?
Thursday, I believe.
Okay.
And he's doing some with us for Memorial Day as well.
Good. Rocky Rechkowski, retired lieutenant colonel from the U.S. Army, is here with us today. You know, the whole thing, the whole Israel-Hamas-Palestinian thing,
You kind of called it yesterday, too.
Well, I didn't mean to, but I had to because that's what I felt,
yeah.
And that's where we are.
Maybe an hour later, Israel said, no, that's not what we're looking for.
What a surprise. Mandy Centuri, CFO, Travers Connection, Pure Michigan. Well, I got a lot of people here, including a new friend from – whoops. I didn't mean to kill that fly. I was trying to swipe it away.
Yeah. And you haven't even touched your beer yet.
No, I have not because I've been talking. But he told me what they were, but I was opening the show.
Right.
So I didn't hear what he said. So did you hear what this one is?
No, but I figured, I think that's the one he said that had some coffee and chocolate notes.
Yeah. He said, do you like coffee? I said, yeah, I love coffee. Do you like chocolate? Yeah. Who doesn't like chocolate? But then he said, gin or bourbon? I go, I like them both.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll have the expert on in just a second.
He's coming up first. So we will do that. We will have the man of the hour from Short's Pull Barn here in Elk Rapids because it is his 20th anniversary in business when he opened the pub there in an old hardware store in Bel Air. And now in 2009, here in Elk Rapids, it's Short's Pull Barn, and that's where we're broadcasting from today. Joe Short coming up first as we're underway with the 21st annual Paul W. Smith Pure Michigan Tour on WJR. So great being here at the Elk Rapids Pull Barn. Man, oh man, what a story. And the story starts with this man, Joe Short, the founder, owner, operator of Short's Brewing. Joe, nice to have you here. We're not hearing him, guys, so we got to get that working.
Do I need?
There we go. No, okay. You don't. You shouldn't have to touch anything.
Okay.
You just drink your beer and enjoy yourself. That's all I'm doing. But nice to have you here. The quick story with the guy who you know with his handlebar mustache, which is very famous. It's on cans of your beer now, as I understand it. Joe grew up in Rapid City, graduated from Kalkaska High School, began working in the hospitality industry at a young age as a waiter at the dockside on Torch Lake. He began home brewing while attending Western Michigan University. Go Broncos! My late brother Mark and some of my nieces and nephews went there as well. After beginning your professional brewing career, stints at the former Travis Brewing Company in Elk Rapids, the former Michigan Brewing Company in Weberville, the former Jackson Brewing Company, later Zig's Kettle and Brew, you decided to return to Northern Michigan, start your own brewery. 20 years ago, you, in fact, started your own brewery in Bel Air. And then you moved here in 2009. The pub is still in Bel Air. This is now the heart and soul as the brewery, as I understand it.
Yeah, it sure is. That's where we made our first batch of beer, and the pub is still very much the nucleus of our operation, as you described. And now we have this other production facility operation here in Elk Rapids, all in Antrim County. So we love it here.
Who would have ever guessed that so many different things could go into beer? It never was that way. You know, my dad used to drink Strohs, and that was what he drank, and that was that. You experimented. You were known as a very creative experimenter. You'd put almost anything in beer.
Yeah, most things you can eat, you can kind of put in beer. There are a couple things that don't go well, but fruits, vegetables, herbs, spices, all that stuff is very part of the culinary brewing experience.
The culinary brewing experience, I like that. And you asked me when I said, what beer should I try? I'm not a huge beer drinker, but what beer? You said, you like coffee? Yeah, I like coffee. You like chocolate? Who doesn't like chocolate? Then you walked away, and then I heard you yell, gin or bourbon? And I thought, well, this is getting very interesting. The one I ended up with is?
The Bel Air Brown.
The Bel Air Brown. The one you're drinking is the beer that you say is the beer that made Shorts.
The beer that built Shorts. So Humalupalicious India Pale Ale. 20 years ago, IPAs were the forefront of the craft brewing industry. And, of course, that being one of my favorite styles to drink and make, I wanted to make something truly profound that attracted people to what we were doing up here in northern Michigan.
Well, that's incredible. And I, even not as a big beer drinker, I was very aware of Humalupalicious. That really put you on the map in a very big way. And it's very tasty, but it's more for beer drinkers.
Yeah, for people who like the hops and the flavor profiles that come from that versus so you're not a beer drinker, and you're drinking the beer that I always give to non-beer drinkers. So
well, it worked.
Bel Air Brown is a beer for beer lovers but non-beer lovers alike, and it's beer non-beer drinkers, quote-unquote, are my favorite customers because I can usually always find something for them.
Well, you do, and all of a sudden we become beer drinkers, which is all great. Tell me about the up north experience and coming up north for Shorts and why that was so special for you.
So growing up here and then leaving to go to school and experience a little bit of the world or the country that's not in my backyard made me appreciate where I grew up a lot. And I really had a pining to get back and just bask in the life that Northern Michigan offers, which is a little slower pace. It's very rural, charming, quiet, and we're surrounded by water and forests.
Well,
so,
we're sitting here. I tried to describe it earlier, and we did put something online. Where do they find that, Mike?
Anywhere, our Facebook, our Instagram, or our Twitter/X page.
You'll get a view of where we are, where we sit, and across from the East Grand Traverse Bay. And this is Sandy Baruah would be proud. This is what they call Chamber of Commerce weather. I mean, it's beautiful, and we're just thrilled to be here with Joe Short, the founder, owner, operator of Shorts Brewing. And it started 20 years ago now in Bel Air, and I understand you now have a new beer garden in Bel Air.
Yes, almost a year ago today, we opened our Bel Air beer garden across the street from the pub, and it's had a lot of evolution since we bought the property years ago. And through COVID, we started developing it as something that we could get people outside and still in town. And now, rolling on the coattails of that idea, for all intents and purposes, it's basically a huge waiting room for those folks who are coming to the pub to get a seat. And so it offers, live entertainment all summer long, authentic Mexican food from Osorio's Tacos and Salsas, then, of course, a lineup of 20 beers and ciders and a litany of picnic tables and festive lights and a lot of energy. And my sons also run a little popcorn stand out there called Little Bros.
Oh, nice.
And they're just slaying it. It's great.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love the beginning of a great family business.
Good way for me to keep an eye on them while I'm changing kegs throughout the weekend.
Excellent. And speaking of tacos, you've got a taco truck out here.
So Osorio's has a few different trucks. they have one at each of our locations. So here in Elk Rapids at the Pole Barn, and then over in Bel Air at the Beer Garden.
I mentioned earlier, Joe Short, that you're known for your experimental beers. You always have been. But you also have some star-cut ciders and some kind of non-alcoholic collaboration with Billy Strings.
That's
right.
Tell
me about that, and tell me what might be next for Shorts.
So Starcut Ciders is our cider brand, and it's, you know, it's in the shadows of our beer for sure, but don't be mistaken. The quality of our ciders are incredible. They're just as flavorful and experimental. We got another, we got a new one out right now called Tucana, which is made with guava. We have ones that are made with cherries, and then we have a traditional dry, and then a more of a semi-sweet. So the dry is Pulsar, the semi-sweet is Octorok. And then, yes, we have a collaboration partnership with Billy Strings. He used to play the Bel Air Brew Pub back in the day. We've always had a music scene there. And we've collaborated on a hop water project. So our first one, Lemon Lime, came out about a year ago. And in another week or so, you're going to see Thirst Mutilator Grape. So sorry if I didn't preface that. Thirst Mutilator is the hop water brand. We have a Lemon Lime, and then coming up here in a week or so, you'll see the grape version out there.
Oh, wow. Don't let me leave, guys, without trying the cherry-based cider. Cherry's my favorite fruit.
That one's called Squishy, and I'm actually not sure if that's available right now. I hope it is.
Okay. All right. If not, I'll look for it. And speaking of that, if folks can't make it up north, where are they going to find your Shorts products?
So any place that serves or retails high-quality craft beverages. We are in the Great Lakes region. The bulk of our sales are in Michigan, and we work with the Imperial Beverage in Michigan and various other distributors around the Great Lakes, so Illinois, Indiana, Chicago is in Illinois,
that's okay.
Wisconsin, and Ohio, and we've got a little bit of a presence over in Colorado.
We go everywhere but Colorado with our signal, but we go there, too, with people streaming us.
Great.
So they can stream us from down the block or in Colorado or wherever at WJR.com and get our podcasts as well. You've done a great job. We salute you on your 20th anniversary at the beginning there in Bel Air, and we're loving being here right alongside East Grand Traverse Bay at Short's Pole Barn with the guy who started it all, Joe Short. Thanks for hosting us. Thanks for having us. And thanks to ITC for making it happen.
Honored to be here. Thanks.
We continue. The 21st annual Paul W. Smith Pure Michigan Tour is underway on WJR. We had a great time getting to Mackinac Island on the Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry, then coming off of it as well. That is the ferry we always use, Shepler's. And speaking of Shepler's, Chris Shepler, the president of Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry, is on the other end of our line and a big sponsor and a part of this, the 2024 Paul W. Smith WJR Pure Michigan Tour. Thanks for your support as always, Chris.
It is our pleasure, Paul W., and man, it's great to hear your voice. Summer has started, and let's go.
Let's go is right, and I think it's going to be the biggest and best season on Mackinac Island ever. That's just my feeling. I'm feeling that the big Detroit NFL draft is going to open the floodgates to a lot of things all around us, including travel and travel up to Mackinac Island. But, you know, I always look at my notes before talking to someone, even somebody I know as well and who is my friend a long time as you, Chris Shepler. But I swear to you, if we talked about it, I never remember talking about you being a very successful downhill ski coach, Harbor Springs High School ski coach from 1989 to 96. You were named the state ski coach of the year by the Michigan High School Athletic Association the same year, 1996, that your high school boys team won the state championship. I had no idea that you were that into snow skiing, that you could be such an incredible coach.
Well, thank you, Paul W., and I can't believe you found that somewhere in the archives. But, yes, I was for Harbor Springs. I also did a little bit of coaching with the Junior Olympic program. I was a head coach for that program a couple of years for the Central Division. when the top athletes from our area and from the Midwest would go out west to compete against all those Rocky Mountain guys and girls. And I was fortunate enough to be a head coach for that program as well. But yeah, though that was a million and a half years ago.
Junior Olympic skiers, as you mentioned, Winter Park, Colorado, Lake Placid, New York, Mount Snow, Vermont. And then you also crewed in the America's Cup from 1985 to 87 on the Heart of America Challenge in Australia. My goodness, where did you get time to do all of this, Chris?
Well, I wasn't driving a ferry boat. I know that much. You know, I had a ton of fun growing up and very, very fortunate to have those opportunities and those experiences all over the world way back when.
Well, the boating, the skiing, what I know about mostly is the community service and the contributions to your profession, to the entrepreneurism and your family business. Mackinac Island Ferry Service, Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry Service, third generation president, Chris Shepler with us right now, coming by all of his passions naturally. It's been very, very special to watch you along the way. Not bad for a 1980 graduate of Harbor Springs High School.
Yeah, I was one of 80, the largest graduating class Harbor Springs, I believe, to the state has ever had. And yeah, that was again a million years ago, but very fortunate to be able to do some of those things and in between college and around college and yeah, I had a blast as a kid.
We were on the ferry yesterday. It's hard to, when you're traveling; it's sometimes hard to keep track of the days. But yesterday, and all of the fleet looks fabulous. Your crews are right tip-top on top of everything. They take care of your luggage. They make sure you get on and off safely. It's really wonderful. You looking forward to a great season?
Yes, we are. And they were all in tune because they knew Paul W. Smith was coming to the dock. So they had to shine their shoes and wash their clothes and all of that stuff. And I'm currently in Washington, D.C. I'm here at a board meeting for the American Bus Association, which I represent the tourism side to that association.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I left a couple days ago and not sure what's going on up there right now, but I'm pretty confident that they are keeping the go, and I'm glad, and thank you for saying all those nice words, because we are anticipating a huge summer. Our numbers right now are up from last year, so that's always a great sign.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good news. It helps that I get to wear that coat that you gave me. That's got the Shepler's logo on one side and Paul W. Smith on the other side. So they do see me coming. I pretend I'm one of the employees until they figure it out, which is rather quickly. And all that because I am proudly the voice of Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry. People say, is that your voice on the ferry? Yes, it is, proudly.
It is.
I've been doing it for a while now, and I hope to do it forever because I so believe in your company, your business, because everybody takes it so seriously and treats everybody so well. And I know you maintain the boats in excellent condition. It's just you want to know that you're getting on a well-maintained, well-operated ferry boat when you're doing that. Even though it's a short 16-minute trip when you're on Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry, you want to make sure that all of that is right. Meanwhile, you've been around for years, and you've watched the changes. Anything in particular that's been happening lately or you're looking forward to in the new season that is brand new, or are you just kind of copacetic keeping everything going the way it was?
Well, we're certainly copacetic and wanting to keep everything, but also, you know, trying to reach the outer edge of envelopes in whatever department those are. And we're looking at our luggage system and taking a seriously look at how we can better that. So, you know, next year, we've got some ideas that we tried to implement this year, but it was just a little too quick.
I forgot we talked about that. That's right. There's a new system that has worked elsewhere that you want to have work here. And that means no more lost luggage, which I never knew was a problem, but you had explained to me that every cruise, it's like you had to make phone calls and check with various hotels and try to track down luggage. And this new system that you have thought about implementing and tried to, but people resist change, and even if it costs a dollar or whatever. But it is a program that sounds excellent, and you want to get that going, I'm sure. And people will understand, too, if it makes sure that they don't lose their luggage. You're not going to be on the island very long. You don't want your luggage to be missing for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, that's correct, and that doesn't happen very often. It's more of a misplaced bag. And so Mackinac Island is so unique and so beautiful, and you know, everything's horse and buggy, and so maybe a piece of luggage might miss a departure, but we know what's right behind. But for us to go on the back deck and look through, you know, possibly 800 bags that we have on a departing boat off Mackinac Island at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday is really impossible. But with these RFID tags in the system, we would be able to know very quickly exactly the last point that luggage came through. So, and we'll get that over the finish line here with Mackinac Island, and I'm confident in that, and provide a better service.
Keep up the good work. I heartily recommend. In fact, you're the only ferry company I recommend. Sheplersferry.com. Sheplersferry.com. You just spoke with the president and heard from Chris Shepler here on WJR. Thanks, Chris. Safe travel.
Thank you, Paul W. Have a great day.
We're doing what we can here on the 21st annual Paul W. Smith WJR Pure Michigan Tour, right across from East Grand Traverse Bay at Short's Pole Barn. We're glad we're all together here on WJR. There is other news, of course, other than our tour. It's just that our tour is the most fun news, because the rest of it is the same old, but we've got a new perspective on it, and we turn to a very sharp guy, professor of political science, director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, Professor David Duleo. Professor, nice to have you on board again.
Thanks for having me back, Paul W.
It is our pleasure. So here we go. Marjorie Taylor Greene may call a vote this week in an attempt to oust Speaker Mike Johnson, because for about 10 minutes, the Republicans actually look like they have some stability. And, of course, we can't have that, not if you're going to shoot yourself in the foot and make yourselves unimportant, which is what Marjorie Taylor Greene does. Am I wrong? Well, I don't want to put you in a position. To me, she appears to be a blithering idiot.
I won't comment on the latter portion of that, but the first part was right on the money. It is more of the same, and we've seen this. History is repeating itself, it seems, where last October, Republicans got themselves in a mess as they ousted Speaker McCarthy for doing some similar things. And not only is it stability, as you so rightly note, but it's actually getting to the business of governing. And there are Republicans out there who won't like and don't like the policy that Speaker Johnson ushered through with aid for Ukraine and Israel and some other things. But that's what leaders do, right? They govern in the midst of the context that they're dealt.
That's brilliantly put and right to the point. And you're right. Here we go. The Republicans have been brilliant at snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. It's as if they can't stand it when things are going well. And if they take their orders from Marjorie Taylor Greene, they deserve everything that they get. What we saw with what Speaker Johnson did was what we the people want them to do, which is find a way to work together to do something and accomplish something. We're not going to agree with everything, but the fact is that they've spent so much time in Washington fighting with each other and accomplishing nothing those of us who are paying them through our ridiculously high taxes are starting to get fed up.
People are certainly fed up. And I think that it's a situation where most Americans look at questions of politics and policy and evaluate it along the lines of, hey, look, I can agree with 80% or even 70% of what is being discussed. Congresswoman Green is and some of her allies are more absolutist, right, where it's got to be everything. I have to get everything I want. I can't give an inch. And that's just not possible in a time when majorities in both the House and the Senate are so razor thin. And to, as you point out, to do anything of substance, you really have to try to find a way to compromise and work together.
I want to get into another topic that is extremely frustrating. This judicial circus that, unfortunately, former President Donald Trump digs himself into deeper and deeper, sadly. And the gag order, which is not only unfortunate, I think illegal, makes no sense, but he just had his 10th violation, so that's another $1,000. This is almost ludicrous in the approach. So $10,000 right now for saying things he's not supposed to talk about. Nobody else has a gag order. They can all talk about him. The witnesses can talk about him. He can't talk about them. The judge can talk about him. He can't talk about him. And the judge's, I don't know, is it her daughter that's made lots of money off this whole thing? I mean, the whole thing stinks. It's rotten to the core. And now you have this judge with a straight face saying, I do not want to put the president in jail. Are you kidding? He'd be the life of the party, and at his liberal country club, he would probably never have to pay for a drink again if he could put Donald Trump in jail. But it's unbelievable that it could come to that. What do you say, Professor Duilio?
Well, it is quite a spectacle, and it is something that has obviously consumed a lot of the political discussion and swirl, right, of the last month or so. And I think that you're right. I mean, the judge is likely to be a hero to the left if he actually follows through on that threat of jail time for the former president. But let's not be naive and think that Donald Trump isn't going to use that same threat to his advantage, at least politically, right? I mean, there that kind of threat and his response to it are the kinds of things that Donald Trump's base loves and will rally around and will just sort of embolden his supporters.
But they are accomplishing overall, not entirely, but they are accomplishing keeping former President Donald Trump off the campaign trail as he is the leading Republican. He is the Republican that will be there as much as the judge is trying so hard and the left is trying so hard. He will be there to be voted for, but he's not given an opportunity to do the things anybody running for office should and would have to do. It's so apparent that the biggest and most important thing that the left is doing right now is keeping Donald Trump off the campaign trail. It does embolden his people. They do collect more money. But the bottom line is you need to get out there. You got to go out and shake hands and kiss babies. And Donald Trump is pretty good at that. But he's not given the opportunity to do that, and they're tying him up as best they can, and somehow this is just wrong, and I don't know what society can do about it. You know, the left thinks it's right because he's a criminal and he deserves it. He's not above the law. And even the president is out there lying, saying, oh, it'll be a massacre if he doesn't get elected. He never said that. And the president knows he never said that. He was talking about the auto industry, and he's right. In the auto industry, all of the business is going to move to China and Mexico and all over the place unless he puts those tariffs on those cars that this current president is afraid to do. So, but to know that they're lying at the highest level, when Biden said it again the other day, and I was like appalled. He knows that's not what President Trump said, yet they grab onto it and they keep repeating it with the help of the media, and it ends up working.
It does. And you know, I would say that the look, this isn't the first time that the current president has been maybe a little loose with the truth about certain details. And there are until folks who have a louder megaphone call him out on it, it's going to continue. And to your point about Trump and his campaign, I think any other candidate would not be as disadvantaged as the former president is with this inability to be on the campaign trail. He, as you know, he loves those rallies. Those rallies are enormous. He's the king of earned media, and it really does put him at a bit of a disadvantage.
Professor of Political Science, Director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, an all-round good guy, Professor David Duilio. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it, Paul W. Have a good day.
You have a good day, too, as we continue here on WJR, the 21st Annual Paul W. Smith WJR Pure Michigan Tour. Here we are at Short's Pole Barn, right across from East Grand Traverse Bay. What a nice place to be. And we love the people from ITC. Can they hear me? Is the speaker up? We love the folks from ITC. They have been with us for years, starting with Linda Apsey, who is the president and chairman or CEO, president and CEO of ITC Holdings Corp. Linda Apsey, we've known her. I've been with her since the groundbreaking of their headquarters. I was there. It was fabulous. They're wonderful people. They've grown, and they serve us so well. Anybody and everybody in Michigan, and for that matter, surrounding states that need electricity, depend on ITC, and they do a great job. And we've got today with us Christine Williams and Kwafo Adarkwa. I hope did I say that right, Kwafo? Thank God. See, look where Kwafo is. He's no dummy. He already went to the taco truck. I want you to know, we sent our executive producer, this was one of his most important jobs today, over to the Osorio taco truck.
Yeah, a little on-site research.
He had to go, and he took a picture of the menu and brought it over to us.
I may need to take a couple more trips. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. So where was I? Okay, and Nora Belgoyan and Cindy Allain. Did I get all that right? I mean, we love you guys. You do a nice job, and you have been so supportive of the Paul W. Smith Show and our tours. I cannot believe it's the 21st annual Paul W. Smith WJR Pure Michigan Tour. Thank you, Grand Hotel, ITC Holdings, Great Lakes Bay Regional Convention and Visitors Bureau, Destination Ann Arbor, Rocket Mortgage, Pure Michigan, Shepler's Ferry, Dean Trailways, and all the team, including Kathy, who is our driver, taking very good care of us. Today we're at Short's Pole Barn, right across the street from East Grand Traverse Bay. This is a wonderful place. I'm telling you to come and have a good time. I know it's early. I mean, it's 12:07, but they've got, well, first of all, the weather's spectacular, but they've got these wonderful tables outside and inside to enjoy yourself. And as we mentioned, right next to the taco truck that's here, I think, all the time, and also at the pub, Short's Pub in Bel Air, they said.
Yeah. And the great thing about this is, you know, it's – you got the bay right there, but, you know, if sometimes the Traverse City area, the downtown might be a little crowded, might be hard to kind of get in and out, this is close enough to not be too far away.
How far away is – we're in Elk Rapids. How far are we from, say
– I think we're like 10, 15 minutes away.
Oh, good.
So,
we passed the beautiful Grand Traverse Resort and
yes.
Spa. We went right by that.
So it's right there, but it's also kind of out there enough for it to not be super crowded if you're just looking for something kind of low-key. And there's board games, too. So
there are board games.
There's board games in the back.
Oh, I didn't get to the back.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe that's what we'll do at 104. I'll break out the Candyland, and we can just do play-by-play.
Well, we're meeting lots of interesting, nice people on our tour. This is just day two on the tour. And where are we headed tomorrow? We're headed to Great Lakes Bay, City of Saginaw. GoGreat.com, as Annie Rummel would tell us, GoGreat.com. On Thursday, it's Destination Ann Arbor for the Michigan Theater. Now, are the Destination Ann Arbor people the people that run the Ann Arbor Theater? How's that work?
Convention. It's the Conventions Visitors Bureau of Ann Arbor.
Okay, excellent. Very good. And then Friday at broadcasting from the Detroit to Golf Club, it's all getting ready for the Rocket Mortgage Classic, of course. And Mark Hollis will be sitting in for me because Kim and I are going to be on our way to Zurich, Switzerland to visit Sophie in her study abroad. So, you know, we wanted to get there and support her and see where she is so we can know the rest of the story all of her life. We'll know the time she spent from her time at University of Michigan, the Ross School of Business, which I couldn't be more proud of that she's there. Meanwhile, coming up, John Conrad will be here. He is the general manager of the Elks Rapids Marina. And the amazing thing, small world, because our neighbors just down the street are Susie and Lewis Cooper, who heard that we were going to be here at Short's Pole Barn and said, wait a minute, we own the marina right across the street. And I said, oh, my goodness, because she told me before when I'd run into Susie that they were doing some things with electric boats. So I'm all ears. I'm
going to be interesting,
just like King Charles, all ears. And listen in to what John Conrad has to say about that marina. And I suspect the sailor in the crowd here, Ray Ray, is going to want to hear what he has to say, too. Ray's a sailor, but we're not going to hold that against him for those of us who prefer the motorboats. No,
well,
I'm just saying.
Hey, any day on any boat is time well spent.
It is absolutely time well spent. So we're looking forward to that conversation coming up in just a moment. News-wise, it's all the same. It's all bad.
Yeah, it feels like episode 10 of everything.
It's Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
It's sad. We wake up every day and it's just whatever.
It's ad libs.
Israel's military has taken control of the Palestinian side of the Rafah crossing, a vital entry point for aid to Gaza on the Egyptian border. And, Israel needs to defend itself. Fully agree. Israel is not able to keep aid from coming to the people who are in distress.
And a lot of countries in the region are very unhappy about this.
Well, you can't blame them. I don't blame Israel for defending themselves and knowing that they have to wipe out
Hamas.
I mean, I don't blame them for that. But you cannot have starving children, women, men, and whatever, who are merely pawns in this whole thing.
Right. You're supposed to do everything you can to mitigate civilian casualties.
Well, and they brag about the fact that no one mitigates civilian casualties like Israel. 30,000 plus. But, yeah. I mean, we're going to have to mitigate it a little better, I'm afraid. At least one person dead, several others injured. A tornado ripping through Barnesdale, Oklahoma. I said it before. When Ann was producing, we were doing the morning show. Her daughter was going to school in Oklahoma.
Oh, my gosh.
And during a tornado season, which seems to be always in Oklahoma, we were always very worried about what was going on there. We're still worried about it.
This year has been particularly bad, too.
It seems like it.
I feel like they went through this last week where there was just multiple tornadoes, Oklahoma, Texas, all through the midsection of the country.
Yeah, bad. It is Tornado Alley. The first crewed launch of Boeing Starliner spacecraft was abruptly scrubbed yesterday. The historic mission could be a major milestone before NASA deems Boeing spacecraft ready for routine operations to the International Space Station. Monday's launch, however, was called off about 2 hours before the countdown clock hit zero because of an issue with a valve on the Atlas V rocket.
So both their airplanes and their spaceships
stop.
They
don't have a chance. But what I was going to say, though, truly, is like the guys in that little mini submarine went down one too many times.
Right.
I worry about them thinking they can use these rockets repeatedly.
Right.
I think the stress on all of the materials used catches up with them.
Right. I mean, what is the lifespan and how many times can you use, especially because we're going to be seeing civilian space travel, what's the shelf life of those
There is a shelf
vessels?
Life, and no one wants to know it or admit it, but it's true. Billionaire investor Warren Buffett, if I had listened to him, I'd be a very wealthy man. But anyway, billionaire investor Warren Buffett has compared artificial intelligence to nuclear weapons in a stark warning. He said, "We let a genie out of the bottle when we developed nuclear weapons," Buffett said at his annual shareholder meeting, which is always special. AI is somewhat similar. It's part way out of the bottle. Buffett, the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, explained that his image and voice were recently replicated by an AI-backed tool, and they were so convincing that they could have fooled his own family. Scams and AI-powered attacks, he added, will likely become increasingly prevalent. On my Paul W. Smitsta, on my Instagram, Paul W. Smitsta, I posted recently several pictures of former President Donald Trump and current President Joe Biden, like out on a picnic and,
right, a bicycle,
and arms around each
other. A bicycle built for two.
Yeah, it was, and it's so real.
And it's getting better. I mean, audio is easier to spoof than visual, but, I mean, you see how fast technology, once it starts going, it's just going to get better and better. Eventually, it's going to be almost impossible to tell.
You're saying it's going to get better and better. I might say it's getting worse and worse.
Right.
I mean, depends on how you say tomato, I say tomato.
More and more.
No, I say tomato.
Yeah. More and more lifelike, I guess, would be better.
That's well put. That's, of course, Mike Parsons. You wake up with him from 5 to 6 in the morning, along with Renee. Mike Parsons and Renee Vitale, first thing, 5 to 6 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Then he, I think, catches a quick nap and comes and works with us. I'm just glad he's here as we continue on WJR. Sunny, beautiful day. Happy people coming from the taco truck. Did you bring enough for all of us, sir? Remember school when you brought things into school and the teacher said, if you didn't bring enough for the whole class, no, you don't have to share. Thank you, though. Very generous. Thank you very much. It was so fun because, you know, when you announce you're going to be on the road, this our 21st annual Paul W. Smith WJR Pure Michigan Tour, and we said we're going to be in Elk Rapids, and we got a message. Kim got the message from our neighbor, Susie Cooper, and she said, you're going to be right across the street from our marina. Susie and Lewis Cooper, J. Lewis Cooper III, officially, are the owners of the Elk Rapids Marina. It used to be called the Elk River Marina. They bought it in 2021-ish. And John Conrad is the general manager running this wonderful marina, and he was kind enough to come across the street and say hi. Nice to see you, sir.
Good to see you, too, Paul. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Tell me about
it's
you.
It's afternoon.
Yeah, well, it is afternoon now.
Yes,
well,
sir.
We started an hour early, so we're 11 to 2 all this week.
Rock
but tell
roll.
Me a little bit about yourself, your background. I know you were a Bronco. But tell me more.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, grew up in, Lansing, Michigan, right down the street from Oldsmobile, and, you know, came from a commercial construction background with my family, and moved up down to Kalamazoo, went to Western, had a great experience, you know, with Western Michigan University as a Bronco, business student, and, you know, construction, real estate, and property management background, and kind of sold that, got out of that, and headed up to Elk Rapids, to our family property. And not too long after that, saw that the Coopers were looking at purchasing the marina, and, you know, looked into, I didn't know the Coopers. I didn't know Lewis. I didn't know Susie.
Nice people.
Yeah, phenomenal people. We've been working with 3.5 years now. And just heard a little bit about, you know, their plans, you know, for the marina and the revitalization and everything they wanted to do to expand it. And I actually approached them and said, hey, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. I want to be a part of this. You know, sales guy, you know, business manager, and just have, you know, strong roots going back to the 20s here in Elk Rapids with my family. And just saw it as something like, hey, you know what? This is, I love boats. You know, business is always a means to the end to play on boats. And I said, now I get to do both.
Wow.
And we've had a great time. I mean, it's work hard, play hard. You know, we've brought on some amazing new lines of boats. There's a lot of new stuff coming down the pipe.
I remember specifically one time we were broadcasting. Ray, you might have been there, Ray Templin. We were broadcasting from the Grosse Pointe Yacht Club. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the occasion was. So was it their boat show or something? I'm not sure what it was, but it was special. We were there.
It was your boat show.
It was the boat show. Okay.
Yeah, we talked before, didn't we? I think on the electric boats.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. But I remembered Susie Cooper talking about the electric boats, mm-hmm. and I thought, wow, I guess it had to come. I mean, they're talking about electric jets, for God's sake. So they would talk about electric boats. Your team at the Elk Rapids Marina have been committed to adopting next-generation boats since the beginning. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I tell you, it's really exciting. And, you know, Lewis and Susie are both, you know, early adapters within the industry of EVs. And it's something that it's coming. It's coming. And this is an early generation, you know, product per se that it's not mainstream. But we carry a line of boats called X-Shore. And they're built, fabricated in Sweden. And we're one of the primary dealers in the U.S. And, I mean, they're phenomenal. I mean, they make no noise. They have, you know, no exhaust, zero emissions, incredible torque.
I'm just going to say this because I can't help myself and I'm honest and straightforward. Mm-hmm. I would have an electric boat as long as I had an emergency backup small little motor, gasoline motor,
sure,
to get me somewhere should I run out of electricity. Because, you know, out there in the middle of the water, you're not going to have any place to be able to plug in and recharge your boat.
Sure, sure. And I think that's the reality of where the industry's at right now with these boats. They're really primarily targeting inland lakes where you can see shore. I mean, you're not trying to take this to Wisconsin. Elk Lake, Torch Lake, even Lake St. Clair. You know, it's kind of like your car, your new electric cars, where they're smart.
So coming up June 8th, you're going to be hosting the Wooden and Vintage Boat Show, mm-hmm. at the Elk Rapids Marina, your marina. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so this is a local fundraiser for our local festival, Harbor Days, which takes place in August. So we have taken over, the village has asked us to help them in promoting this event where we'll be bringing in vintage and wooden boats. And we're going to have the street car fair the same day as well. There's a lot going on. And so we're going to be having several people bringing in their antique and wooden boats for the show. And the purpose and the goal is to generate a bunch of money so we can have an awesome fireworks display and, you know, sell a bunch of elephant ears and peanut butter cups.
Well, I'm on my way.
Hey,
John Conrad, you talk about all these things, and you're going to have those wooden and, well, I'm reading here, vintage fiberglass,
yeah,
and aluminum models. Most boats are fiberglass now, right?
Yeah, but I mean, aluminum, like with our pontoon boats, and we actually have a tow surf boat that's an aluminum. I mean, aluminum is an amazing material for boats. Very efficient.
I got to tell you, because I don't know a lot about boats, I can say that to my mind, pontoon boats have come the farthest.
That's crazy.
It's a pontoon boat used to be a boring little thing, and you'd see people out there and go, wow, that's boring. Pontoon boats are very exciting now.
Twin 300s, you know, it blows your hair off.
And the what do they call the one with the three? Is it tritune?
Yeah, triple. Oh, the tritune.
Tritune.
Yeah, we have them right here, Tahoe pontoons, tritunes, all kinds of stuff. You know, come down and see us. We'll take you out for some demo boat rides, Elk Lake, Torch Lake. We're having a blast.
It sounds like it. Thanks for being with us, John Conrad, General Manager of Elk Rapids Marina, and thanks to the owners, Susie Cooper and Lewis Cooper. And if you see him before I do, tell him Kim and I send our best.
Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, John, as we continue here in Focus on WJR. Yeah, I just heard from our good friend Link Bessert, one of our top account executives at WJR, and he just gave me a blast from the past, because when we'd come up here and stay at Grand Traverse Resort and Spa and do the various auto-related events that we had, boy, they had big cigar nights and all that. These are kind of days gone by. But he just asked if we went to Pearl's, because we're very close to this restaurant that we used to go to all the time with Joe Rotinsky and a variety of other people on these sojourns for automotive-related events. And Pearl's is a great little restaurant within a very short driving distance from where we are right now in Elk Rapids. And but for $1 million, I couldn't know if we turn left or right out of the driveway to find pearls. And Link probably knows that. He knows my challenges. The much-anticipated $2.2 billion Henry Ford Hospital expansion in the New Center area, I am happy to say, is underway. Our WJR senior news analyst, Bree Osborne, is going to bring us some of the details while we're on the road. She's keeping us on top of the breaking story of the day. Hello, Marie.
Hi, Paul W. So this expansion work is right happening here near us at WJR in the Fisher Building. The former HAP building was built in the 1950s, and it was the corporate headquarters of Health Alliance Plan, which has since moved to Troy. That building is now being demolished. That's already started. And the hospital system says it'll take months for the demolition and the cleanup to be wrapped up, but they're going to get it done. There will be a groundbreaking this fall for the new 21-story hospital tower, and the new buildings are expected to open in 2029. The expansion project is just one part of a $3 billion development that includes Henry Ford Health, Michigan State University, and the Pistons organization, which, in addition to the hospital tower, will include 662 apartments and a medical research center. And Paul, it's also noteworthy to say the University of Michigan is expanding its presence in Detroit by building an innovation center. The building will bridge graduate level academic programs and workforce development for Detroiters. The state contributed $100 million toward that $250 million development. It's all set to open in 2027. That building will be on Grand River and West Columbia. That's just a few blocks east of MGM Grand Casino.
Wait a minute. I'm lost. Did you just say University of Michigan, Michigan Medicine?
Yes, that's in.
That's supposed to be in Troy, where the old Kmart headquarters were. That were.
But
left
they're also expanding the presence here in Detroit as well by building this innovation center.
I mean, with all due respect, talk about bad timing when we're trying to raise money for this huge $2.2 billion expansion for Henry Ford Health. I guess this just goes to show you how incredibly competitive the hospital business is today.
It is, but it's also good news for, I think, the city of Detroit and for what's going to be going on, especially here in the New Center area and in this part of town. So this is all good development.
Yeah, all the Henry Ford Health Systems and this big development in our New Center area that WJR is smack dab in the middle of it at 2850 West Grand Boulevard, where that's going to be the building. But yeah, we're here, and we're happy for Bob Riney, the great head of Henry Ford Health, and you know, his right-hand people like Dr. Stephen Kalkanis and Mary Jane Vogt, who's involved with helping raise the money to make sure we can make this happen. I was aware of the Troy expansion of Michigan Medicine, but not the other one that you just talked about. Fascinating.
Well, that's why they call it news. There you go.
Yes, it is. And so the former HAP building being demolished for a $2.2 billion Henry Ford Hospital expansion, and that started for the groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. And then the expansion project is said to be one segment of a $3 billion collaborative development involving Henry Ford Health, and you mentioned Michigan State University, the Pistons organization, all a part of it. And, you know, I just was at I don't know what it's called. It might be called the Pistons Health Center. I don't know.
Yeah, their practice medical facility.
Yeah,
right there in the new center, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just there.
You can see it outside the window.
Right. And I guess I haven't been looking out the window lately, but I did go there recently, and it's a beautiful facility. Actually, I also went to the Henry Ford facility in Royal Oak, and that's spectacular. That's mm-hmm. like a hidden gem. Have you ever been there, Marie?
No, but I know exactly where it is. And yeah, it's kind of refurbished a whole area there where that is.
Yeah, it's spectacular. And they can even do and do some orthopedic surgery there.
Yeah. You know an area, I mean, now listen, the New Center area has been a very special place for a long time. And I've always loved this area. But it's interesting, today I saw two couples jogging right down Lothrop here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then another couple jogging down the boulevard. I mean, they're on the sidewalk, of course. They're not in the street.
Right.
But it's, you know, when you see that, when you see people out doing, a lot of people walking their dogs, too. And in the evenings, you see a lot of people riding your bikes in this neighborhood. When you see that, that's when you know that things are really, really happening in a neighborhood.
Yeah, and I'm going to channel my old friend and your old friend, Al Brooks Patterson. You know, Paul, it was mm-hmm. a pleasure seeing these people jogging, because I remember years gone by when they were running, but it wasn't because they were running for their health. They were running for their lives.
Right.
Brooks. And then people would get mad at him, but then they'd have to say, well, you know, he is right. Like when he said not to buy your gas at nighttime downtown.
Ugh.
I mean, he was right at the time. And then they put up those red light systems and the cameras, and they've made it better. So everything's better. And I love to hear you say that on Lothrop, there are people jogging and having a good time.
Yeah.
Marie, we always have a good time when you're with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marie Osborne, WJR Senior News Analyst, as we continue at 12:43 on WJR. 21st Annual Paul W. Smith Pure Michigan Tour. And we're having a ball here right across from East Grand Traverse Bay and Short's Pull Barn. Having a great time, and thanks to ITC as today's sponsor as well. Retired Lieutenant Colonel for the U.S. Army, Rocky Reczkowski, joins us all the time. He's so good at what he does. He's even filling in for me a week from this Thursday when we happen to be in Switzerland. And I wanted to hear what he has to say because, you know, there's been this – we talked about it yesterday. We poo-pooed it, actually, yesterday, about this supposed brokered peace agreement with Qatar, and I don't know who else was involved.
Egypt, I think.
Egypt, Qatar, and whatever. Everybody was involved except Israel. And duh, you can't really do it without Israel. Anyway, Rocky, it's a crazy, crazy time as Israel captures the Palestinian side of the Rafah border. We got news, too, of a Russian detaining an American soldier. Come on.
Yeah, incredible news happening on a daily basis now. And by the way, Paul W., I wish I was with you up there in Grand Traverse and then in Switzerland.
But, well, I wish you were, too. I'd feel very safe with you along our side, Rocky, that's for sure.
Thanks, buddy. But, no, listen, you're absolutely right about what you said yesterday about poo-pooing this ceasefire deal or this deal that was allegedly proposed, because how this basically happened, so that people really understand what took place. Hamas fired mortars into what's called the Kerem Shalom crossing. And that crossing was basically guarded by the IDF, which stands for the Israeli Defense Forces. Four of them were killed, 14 other injured. So Israel basically said, okay, enough. We haven't seen any progress on the ceasefire. We haven't seen any progress on giving back those hostages. Therefore, we're going to invade. Once they started putting out the leaflets, texts, and cell phone calls so that people understand, unlike any other military ever, they do what's called a civil military operation where they get civilians off the battlefield. They're sending cell phone calls. They're doing text messages, as well as sending out leaflets from the air to people written in Arabic, spoken in Arabic, saying, move through this specific area that we have created for a safe zone. Go towards the Mediterranean, where there will be food, where there will be areas where you will be safe. But you will go through basically checkpoints, Israeli Defense Force checkpoints, to make sure that there are no Hamas militants going through there. And when that happened, the White House, actually, it was our White House, Biden's conversation with Netanyahu that pressured Netanyahu and said, okay, if you don't capitulate to a ceasefire, we're going to stop sending you what's called a joint direct attack munition. It's a JDAM. It makes dumb bombs into smart bombs. Therefore, you won't be able to make your targeted attacks. And, you know, Egypt, Qatar, and the U.S. pushed for the ceasefire. But Hamas capitulated once the attack started in Rafah, and they capitulated to a ceasefire of a full-time end to the war with no return of the hostages. What kind of agreement is that?
Well, it wasn't one, as you're right, you pointed out. We mentioned it yesterday. But the concern I have, and yes, they do this, and I've asked about it before. I wasn't thinking about why it was being done, but it was being done because they try to give a heads-up to civilians like no other force ever has, and they've been doing that. They've done it a number of times. Now, there are times when they send civilians to an area, and then all of a sudden that area gets bombed, because in war there are all kinds of mistakes that happen, and there always will be. Imagine in the theater of the war and all of the different moving parts, there are mistakes that can be made. That's why war is no good. That's why it's just, you don't want to be in war. But that Rafah crossing is a main entry point for humanitarian aid into Gaza. And if Israel doesn't keep that open and free moving, they're going to be criticized once again for the starvation that is underway.
Yeah, but also, what else is coming through that border? You've got to understand that the U.S. is in our hands. As an American, I think our hands are not totally clean here, and we're taking away the ability of creating deterrence. How do you fight an enemy? You create a deterrence, and that deterrence, the peace through strength, is what creates peace. If you've got munitions that are crossing that Rafah crossing, you've got problems as well, and nobody's monitoring it. And therefore, honestly, if Israel is creating a humanitarian pathway and has created medical and food areas towards the Mediterranean, people need to move that way, especially because Israel now needs to deal with four less battalions of Hamas militants, which is with their leadership as well, which amounts to about 3,200, 3,500 soldiers or militants left in Rafah that they need to basically deal with. Because let's face it, Hamas has not come to the table and dealt with an actual ceasefire.
All right, let's to the other story. We know that Putin has a long history of holding American citizens hostage. So the warning has gone out, and I don't know how people don't pay attention to this. For all Americans, the State Department has said a number of times it's not safe to travel to Russia. I don't know why anybody would want to take the chance, let alone a United States soldier who apparently traveled to Russia to visit a woman he was in love with.
Yeah, there's obviously a problem here. The name of the soldier came out now. His name is Staff Sergeant Gordon Black. He's been in the Army for 16 years. He knows the standards. He knows the requirements of the U.S. military. You don't just, when you take a leave or you take your vacation period from the Army, which you usually get about 30 days in the military throughout the whole year, you don't just fly to an area without getting pre-certification or pre-permission. And he went through China to get to Vladivostok, Russia, which is near the Kamchatka Peninsula. There's a lot of Russian military operations in that area. And he's not accused of espionage. What he's accused of is theft. And what's interesting, so that people understand, is that whenever a foreigner with a foreign embassy is caught in a country, that their nation's embassy is automatically alerted by the host nation. So Russia alerted our U.S. embassy that they arrested this person and that this person also happens to be a U.S. military person. So it's a stain, obviously, I don't know what he was thinking or what got into this guy's mind, but something's not right there.
Absolutely not right. You're right about that. And we still have our U.S. citizens, including the Wall Street Journal reporter, Evan, that gets a lot of attention. But let's not forget Paul Whelan, who was arrested in 2018. Appreciate your help, and thanks for sitting in Thursday, a week from this Thursday, and also around Memorial Day. We'll talk more as we go. Rocky Retchkowski, WJR. Thank you to Linda Apsey, the president and CEO of ITC Holdings Corp. She's been with the company since the beginning of the company, as have I. We were there. And we did the groundbreaking for their world headquarters, and it's just a wonderful company that's done very well and we all depend on, and they've given back to the community so many times and have sponsored us on the road, I think, for all 21 years of our Pure Michigan tour. So thank you, Linda Apsey, Christine Williams, Kwafo Adarkwa, who's going to join us here in just a little bit, Nora Balgoyan, and Cindy Allain, and all the men and women of ITC Holdings Corp. And thanks to Joe Short, the founder of Short's Brewing Company, celebrating their 20th anniversary of their Bel Air pub. And they've been here, too, right alongside the East Grand Traverse Bay for a number of years. And, boy, have they done a nice job, a really nice job. Nestled between Lake Michigan, Elk Lake, and Bass Lake in Elk Rapids, the Pull Barn is the sweet spot, which is where we are, between Charlevoix and Traverse City. And real Michiganders can sit outside year-round and gaze at the bay. Boy, they've got packaged beer. They've got game nights. They've got all kinds of wonderful things, food trucks. And what a great place for a sunset, too. This is just great. Thank you to the whole team for having us here. Speaking of our team, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Renee Vitale started us because we are on from 11 to 2 this week. And Rich Luzinski, who comes on at noon, his regular time. Ray Templin running our controls. Ava DeMangia making sure everything's paid for.
Which might be the most important job.
I would say it's the most important thing.
Because I'm a little short, no matter what.
You have alligator arms. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Right, yes.
I told these guys last night an old Hoot McInerney story. And he told me that when he would go out to dinner with Lee Iacocca, they're both gone, so I can tell the story. It's not hurting anybody's feelings. But he said to me, Lee Iacocca had the shortest arms I'd ever seen. And I thought, what? I've met Lee Iacocca.
Seemed proportional to me.
He seemed absolutely normal. I shook his hand. I didn't notice he had extra short arms. And I said, "Hoot, I've met Lee Iacocca. I don't remember him having short." He goes, "Paul, what I mean is when we go out to dinner, his arms wouldn't reach down to his pocket in his wallet. I always had to buy." I'd never heard the expression.
Well, while you were telling this story, I was actually Google imaging, searching pictures of Lee Iacocca to look at his arms until the punchline came. Because that's what I said. I said his arms looked normal to me.
Well, Lee probably thought that in all the car businesses that he was involved with and car companies, a dealer probably owed him dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's how the rich stay rich, right?
And it is indeed. So I don't care about things like this. I suspect Kim watched the red carpet for the Met Gala.
Oh, that was last night?
It was last night. The annual invitation only event. I had no idea it was an invitation only.
It's probably why I didn't know it was happening, because I didn't get
it. You didn't get that invitation again this year?
Might be stuck in the mail.
And who is it, the Anna Wintour?
Wintour?
I don't know. Is she the one who throws that party? I know so little about it.
Yeah, how do you become the arbiter of that?
I don't know. But it's a big deal, and I know people want to go, and if they do go, they dress, an old expression, I never even use this expression, they dress to the nines.
Yes.
What's that mean, I wonder?
I don't know, but
dress to the nines.
I mean, to me, it looks like a bunch of rich, famous people just trying to have the wackiest costume.
Well, it is a bunch of rich, famous people. And I suspect
and it's for charity, but still, it's still a little...
Yeah. What?
Rich for my blood.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I have no problem with it. You know, whatever. I don't hold it against people for being rich.
Yeah.
Especially because I see so many rich people being so generous. I guess I should figure that's important.
Yeah. I should figure out what kind of charities it goes to.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Victor Wembanyama. Do you know who that is?
Yes, I believe he was the number one pick for the Spurs a couple years ago.
And the NBA Rookie of the Year award goes to the 7'4" player.
Oof.
Come on, are you kidding me?
Oof. It takes me back to the days of Manute Bol, who was 7'6".
Wow.
Tallest guy, I don't know if ever in the NBA, but at least in the history of the NBA back in the 90s.
And what an advantage they have.
Right.
I mean, they don't have to jump to dunk it.
No. You can literally stand behind the basket and just drop it in.
So he won the award, Rookie of the Year award, in a unanimous vote of the 99 members of the media.
And he's one of these guys who is so big and strong that when he's dominating the other players on the court, it doesn't look like he's trying. He looks like, do you remember, I don't know if you ever had to take gym in high school, but it was mostly freshmen, and then there was the senior who was in the freshman gym class, and he looked way huger. That's what Victor Wembanyama is in the NBA.
There was a senior that would have to be in your freshman
sometimes
gym class?
Yeah.
Like as punishment?
I get, or he just didn't take the gym class until his senior year. I don't know.
Wow. We never had a choice.
Yeah, you're supposed. I thought everyone was supposed to take it in freshman year. But
well, we I thought we had it every year.
I blacked out a lot of gym class. The details might be a little hazy.
I don't even want to go down that path.
Yeah.
Okay, so a Kremlin critic wins the Pulitzer Prize. He probably went, no, please don't.
Right.
I don't need the attention.
Don't announce it till 20 years later, please.
Vladimir Karamurza, a prominent Russian human rights advocate and Kremlin critic, won the Pulitzer. Well, you know, people say Pulitzer, but it's like Pulitzer.
I always thought it was Pulitzer, yeah.
Yeah, it's something different. Pulitzer Prize for commentary that he wrote from his prison cell. Now, there's a situation where for the next several weeks you have somebody else taste your dinner first.
Yes, right.
Here, would you like to try my slush before I try it? My mush?
Get adjusted.
This is a sad story, and I don't know any details other than what I've got in front of me here. I could not have named Miss USA.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I can't name Miss America or Miss Universe, any of them anymore. It used to be big stories. Used to watch the television show. Who was it? Parks? Not Burt Parks. Who was the guy that would MC them and sing, "Here she is, Miss America"?
Oh, what was his name? That's like all that guy did.
Yeah,
it looks like Ray knows.
It seems like it's
Burt Park.
Thank you, Ray. Burt Park, he said.
Burt Park it was?
Yeah.
Burt Park. And he sang the song, and he did the whole thing. Kim is telling me, oh, my gosh, the Met is invitation only. But guess what? The cost of entry to this year's Met Gala, how much do you think it costs to go?
$1 million. I'm going to round it.
That's crazy, first of all. But if I got the invitation, I would quickly lose it in the mail.
Yeah. How much?
$75,000.
Woo!
That's a pretty heavy ticket. That's crazy. And that's up from, the Met told CBS Money Watch, that's up from last year's $50,000 price tag.
Wow, that's quite a jump.
The Met Gala or Met Ball, formerly called the Costume Institute Gala or the Costume Institute Benefit, the annual fundraising gala held for the benefit of the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute, in New York. And yes, she did watch. I said her. This all began when I said she watched the red carpet.
Right.
And she watched it and said, E! Channel did a great job. They weren't mean like Joan Rivers used to be. You know, Joan was funny, but she could be very mean.
Right. Well, you know what? And maybe that's why, going back to your story about Miss USA Noelia Voigt, she resigned her title for mental health reasons. Because people can just be mean.
That's where we were. That's where, I started on the story and got waylaid. I'm sorry. I haven't heard of that before. Crowned Miss USA in November of last year and announced she's resigning from her role, saying the decision is in the best interest of her mental health.
Well, I mean, you look at Simone Biles, who sat out the Olympics for mental health. You know, I say good for you. If you know you're struggling, don't feel pressure to keep struggling to make other people happy. If you feel like you need the break, pursue your own mental health.
Mr. Parsons, that is excellent advice.
It's Dr. Parsons now.
Oh, I'm sorry. 114 WJR. The mission of Traverse Connect is to advance the economic vitality of the Grand Traverse region through the growth of family-sustaining careers. Its vision is by 2030, the Grand Traverse region be a diversified economic destination of choice powered by growth-oriented enterprises, providing competitive total compensation to match the world-class quality of life. There is a world-class quality of life. And Mike asked you, our guest, Mandy Santieri, who is the CFO for Traverse Confection. I'm so hungry. CEO of Traverse Connection here on our Pure Michigan Tour. And someone just, you just said, people must say, oh, you're so lucky to live in Traverse City. Mm-hmm. And you said, well, they are more now than before.
Yes, yeah.
Growing up in Monroe, I always thought Traverse City would be a great place to live.
Well, people have never heard of it before. So, but we are getting, the word's getting out and people are coming. So.
Oh my goodness. It never occurred to me that there are people in Michigan that might never have heard of Traverse City. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fabulous that, of course, the word is out. Tell us, in fact, about Traverse Connect and its role in this region.
Yes, of course. So Traverse Connect is the regional economic development organization, and we serve Antrim, Benzie, Grand Traverse, Kalkaska, and Leelanau counties. We provide support to businesses in all stages of growth, including startups and new businesses, businesses working on growth and expansion, and larger companies looking for new markets, relocation, or expansion, especially those in the blue economy sector. One way we do this is through our Michigan's Creative Coast program, which is our region's talent attraction and relocation services, which has a job board, resume sharing capabilities, and access to regional ambassadors to help individuals with their career, housing, networking, and other things as they consider a move here to Traverse City.
The blue economy you just referred to, is that people who are making their living off the waterways?
Yes, essentially, but research and industry and innovation. So
tell me more about this blue economy and what it looks like in the Traverse region.
So Grand Traverse region is well positioned to be the global epicenter for freshwater research. We are located right in the center of Great Lakes, and we hold 21% of the world's freshwater. So our local community college, Northwestern Michigan College, offers the country's first ever associate's degree in freshwater studies and the first in Michigan community college bachelor's degree in marine technology.
Hmm.
So and recently, through a collaboration with Northwestern Michigan College, Michigan Tech University, 20 Fathoms, Traverse Connect, and others, we are building a freshwater research and innovation center, which is located at Discovery Center and Pier in Traverse City, right on Lake Michigan. So it's going to house research, development, and business incubation for new technology businesses and everything from sensors and robotics to e-marine and outdoor recreation.
That's fabulous. Mandy Centieri is with us, CFO, Traverse Connection, on our Pure Michigan tour.
It's actually Traverse Connect.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Traverse, I'll just take off the
We make connections.
Okay. I appreciate that, Traverse Connect. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, when we would think of outdoor recreation in Michigan, you certainly would think about Traverse City. Its access to boating, swimming, Lake Michigan, the Sleeping Bear Dunes, maybe the picture-perfect inland lakes and rivers. There are some interesting developments that we probably don't know about that somebody who is the CFO of Traverse Connect can probably tell us about.
I can. So last spring, Traverse Connect partnered with the Office of Future Mobility and Electrification with the state of Michigan for the Fresh Coast Maritime Challenge. This is a first-in-its-kind program in the United States to provide grants for sustainable maritime transportation for commercial and recreational boating activities and marinas. We continue to drive the electric boating industry forward with global corporate relationships and leaders like Elk Rapids Marina, hosting the largest e-marine event with Aqua Superpower, the leading manufacturer of marine fast chargers.
Marine fast chargers. Boy,
mm-hmm.
Obviously they paid attention to what was happening in the auto industry and said, we better get fast chargers on the docket quick.
Yes. Yeah, and some other interesting. So in 2022, there was a survey done. We found that in our 10 counties, northern Michigan, there's over 4,700 workers employed in outdoor recreation, and $1.2 billion is contributed to our gross regional product from outdoor recreation.
Yeah, we would think that would be a big part of everything here. I mean, that's what we think about. But and when you think of Michigan, the state of Michigan as a whole, you do think of, obviously, autos, manufacturing. But you may not be, I'm certainly not as familiar with what manufacturing looks like up here, up north. What is Traverse Connect doing in that sector?
So we have a long history of agriculture and food production up here, including Shorts, as well as Cherry Public, Sara Lee Frozen Bakery, and then several wineries such as Mauby, Chateau Grand Traverse, Chateau Chantel, Bonobo Winery, and just many, many more.
Traverse City Pie Company.
Yes, the Pie Company, yeah. So this year we partnered with the Grand Traverse Area Manufacturing Council and created a joint membership for our manufacturers in our area. And we just last week held our Northern Michigan Manufacturing Summit, which brought together regional manufacturers and leaders from our region to discuss importance of education and training of the next generation. So how do we get those things in front of the kids at an early age?
So Mandy Centieri, CFO, Traverse Connect, is there something important coming up that we'd want to tell our listeners about that you would maybe like them to come up if there's some kind of a convention or gathering or meeting that they might not know about that maybe you can tell them?
Well, gosh, the summer's coming, so there's many golf outings to attend.
That's true. Yeah, no shortage of golf courses either.
Right, golf courses. I would just say come up and see the water and enjoy the boating and everything we have to offer.
I hope no one takes for granted this view we have from Short's Pole Barn, the East Grand Traverse Bay. Look at that.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And it, unfortunately, if it's there all the time and you don't remember to keep looking at it and enjoying it, I hope that never happens to you. You're from Traverse City, right?
I am from Traverse City, and I'm grateful for it. So,
well,
yeah.
Very good. Very good. Mandy Centieri, CFO of Traverse Connect. Thanks for telling us about Traverse Connect. How do we get in touch with Traverse Connect? What do we do?
You can visit our website at traverseconnect.com.
Easy.
Very easy. Yep.
Traverse Connect. .com. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. It's our 21st annual Paul W. Smith WJR Pure Michigan Tour as we continue. Well, and we so appreciate ITC, and I've mentioned a number of times, of course, Linda Apsey, our longtime friend, president, CEO of ITC Holdings Corp, and then Christine Williams, and our next guest, Nora Belgoyan, Cindy Allain, and we realize ITC Holdings Corp, the nation's largest independent electricity transmission company, is based in Novi, owns and operates two subsidiaries in the state, ITC Transmission and METC, collectively ITC Michigan. And the two systems comprise approximately 8,700 circuit miles of transmission line serving most of Michigan's Lower Peninsula. ITC's investments in power transmission and infrastructure lower electricity costs, improve service reliability and safety, and increase economic activity and tax revenues for customers, stakeholders, and communities. Indeed, you go to itcholdings.com is another good way to get in touch with them, or Fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S, Inc.com. Any number of ways. Our connection is very quickly right here, right now, with the Director of Public Affairs for ITC, Kwafo Adakwa. Kwafo, nice to have you here.
Great to be here, Paul W. It's a great day, great Pure Michigan day up here.
I just want, is Ava listening?
Yeah, I don't know. She probably is.
Ava's right there. Ava's right there. How was the taco truck?
Taco was 8.5 out of 10. Just amazing. Amazing job they're doing up here.
Okay. I'm doing undue influence on Ava because she picks where we eat next. God bless you, Ava. Make your own mind up. We'll go wherever you want to go. So this is a great location. Thanks for picking this location because ITC has helped out this part of the world. Mm-hmm. And for our Pure Michigan Tour, you've been with us from the beginning. Thank you for that.
No problem.
I was with you guys from the beginning.
You were, and I've been most of that. I've been with the company 16 years. So I've been Pure Michigan tours. Yeah, it's been a great partnership.
So, but how did ITC come to select here, in fact, specifically at Short's Pole Barn?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the work that's being done up here, you just had someone from Traverse Connect on. We've been talking to those folks quite a bit. And again, a lot of our focus for the organization has been throughout the state, and there's a lot of great economic development activity happening up in this region. Wanted to highlight this, and the group here at Shorts has been fabulous all day long in terms of showing us about the process here, and we wanted to highlight this area of the system. Again, we operate, and a lot of the focus ends up being in the southern part of the state, but we wanted to show and put a little bit of light on northern Michigan and the work that's being done up here. So we're great and happy to be here and happy to be a part of what's going on. You talk about the electrification they were talking about with respect to some activities in the marina that's nearby here. So all of that is just fabulous for this region. We're happy to be a part of it.
Absolutely. I mean, John Conrad was here, general manager of Elks Rapids Marina, and our friends, Susie Cooper and Lewis Cooper, the owners of what was Elks River Marina, now Elks Rapid Marina, right across the street. And it's interesting to learn about the electric boats there at the marina. And I suppose there's a lot more to electrification than just EVs. Talk about some of these other areas that are actually moving toward electrification that we maybe haven't thought about before.
Yeah, it's more than just cars. I mean, obviously in Michigan, we focus on the automobile industry and mobility in that regard, but they mentioned the boats that are going to be electrified. There's electrification happening in your home. When was the last time you went anything analog, really, in your home? So your home, things like washers, dryers, lawnmowers, and then industrial processes. Those processes are changing, moving over from the, you know, kind of fossil fuel or gas-based type technologies into more electrification. And so ITC sits at the center of all of that activity when you think about delivering power reliably and at a value to all of our customers across the state and across our multiple state region.
Well, it's let's face it, ITC balances the need to make needed grid investments with the cost concerns on the part of the ratepayers. But as we move into the electrification of everything, the boats we talked about today, airplanes will be electric airplanes. I mean, it's crazy, but that's obviously what they're working on.
Yeah.
Can our grid handle all of these things? We talk about the EVs, the electric cars, but well, there's so many other places. How's our grid going to do?
Yeah, well, I would do the old quote, plans are useless, but planning's essential. Our planning team, our engineering team, we're planning for all the eventualities that are going to happen. You talk about the adoption curve on EVs. You talk about the things with aviation. You talk about marinas. We're planning for the changing way in which we produce electricity and making sure we're able to deliver that. We're making those needed investments across our grid. We have one of our biggest capital plans going on this current year to kind of meet those future needs and kind of make sure that we are where we need to be as a state and be ready for whatever comes forward, whatever type of optionality that the state direction it wants to go from a policy standpoint or whatever you have with it. We are going to be ready, and we are planning, and we are operating the grid in a way that's value for customers, and it's reliable.
I would say, Quaffo, that that ITC is bridging the gap between where we are with our power needs now and obviously looking ahead. You're going forward knowing and preparing.
Yeah, you just have to. And again, we have a lot of things thrown at us in terms of when adoption is going to happen, different technologies, when power plants may be coming online or going offline, what types of generation are going to come on. We've got to be ready for that, and we believe that we are. We've shown that over 21 years in operation that we are one of the best transmission companies in the entire country with our reliability metrics at the top of the charts for our Michigan operations for sure.
God bless you. Nice seeing you.
Good to be here.
16 years and counting
with
ITC, which is a great company headed up by Linda Apsey, and she was there from the beginning as well, president and CEO of ITC Holdings Corp. Quaffo Adakwa, the director of public affairs for IDC, really supporting and keeping us pure Michigan.
That's what we got to do. Thanks, Paul W., for the time today.
Thank you for being with us.
Appreciate
it. Thanks for your support.
No doubt.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So very much. As we continue in focus on WJR. All this week, during our 21st annual Paul W. Smith WJR Pure Michigan Tour, we start an hour early. So thanks to all the guys giving us, the All Talk guys specifically, giving us an hour of their show for us to be able to be sure to get everybody in, so we're 3 hours instead of two for this week, for this broadcast. Today, I mentioned it at the beginning, but it's so important, I want to mention it again. For many educators, teaching isn't just a job, it is a calling. So express your gratitude today for the amazing contributions and tireless efforts of the teachers that helped us. I know I had great teachers along the way that helped me become the person I am today. It is National Teacher Appreciation Day, and I'm afraid we don't show as much appreciation for teachers as we should. And there are far more, far, far, far more great teachers than bad teachers. But the bad teachers get, unfortunately, a lot of the attention. I would suspect, for the kind of guy that Chris Renwick turned out to be, and we're getting ready for JR Afternoon with Chris Renwick. I suspect you had good teachers, Chris.
Those people are saints, Paul. I had wonderful, wonderful teachers.
Were you a problem in class? Were you a bad kid in class? Were you the class clown? What were you?
Can I tell you one story?
And well, I take as much time as you'd like.
I don't think I've ever actually said this on the air. So if Mr. Hess at Novi High School is listening, I don't even know if he's still there. He was the wrestling coach, and he was one of the mathematics teachers. And I hated math, still hate math. I don't know what 2 plus 2 is. I can help you
with that later.
Probably because every day in class, I would absolutely torpedo the discussion and the lesson plan by asking Mr. Hess what I needed to do to make the wrestling team next year. So I would every day would focus on another issue, what my workout regimen should be, what foods I shouldn't eat, my nutrition, what is the best type of barbell to use or whatever. And every day, like clockwork, we would be 10 minutes into class, and I would ask the question in the middle of class, and he would graciously take all the time remaining to talk to me about what I needed to do to be a high-level wrestler.
So did the other kids in the class hated it.
No, they hated it. They're probably just
all those
as
kids are bad at math now too.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, shout out Mr. Hess, just a saint in his own
can
right.
Can I ask you a kind of a personal question? Sure. For the rest of the story, as my old friend Mr. Harvey used to say, did you ever make the wrestling team?
Paul, I never tried out for the wrestling team. I never had any actual goal to make the wrestling team. Never once.
My goodness.
Did Mr. Hess...
He was a scammer even back then.
I was going to say, did Mr. Hess ever come to you and be like, you know, Chris, you've been asking about wrestling tryouts. I didn't see you there yesterday.
No, I was just like, oh, I was sick during the tryouts. I'm sorry I couldn't come in. Or I would make something. Yeah. Yep. So God bless that man. What a great man.
Well, he went on. He did well. He became Mr. Hess from Hess Gasoline over on the East Coast. You might have seen
so.
Their trucks around
yeah,
Christmas
I hope so.
Time.
God, I hope
those
that's
Hess
true.
Trucks.
For some reason, he said, I got to get out of teaching. I don't know what it could have been.
the
administration's like, why are your classes' scores so low? This is insane. Why? No. Why does nobody come out of your class knowing anything about math? Yeah, that was me. Oh,
that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Hey, so what are you doing today? What are you talking about?
Well, we had a lot to do. Stormy Daniels on the witness stand.
Did she go
today.
On the stand? I've watched no television and seen no newspapers while we're on the tour. It just works out that way.
Sure. Yeah, no, she's on the stand today. She has described in graphic detail the situation and the sex that she and Donald Trump had. So we'll talk about that because I think that's an interesting development. I think if you're the defense, right, there's two questions. Did you receive a payment from Donald Trump? Yes or no? And did you know if Donald Trump was paying you off to influence the election? I think both those questions are no. I mean, that's the end of cross-examination as far as
you
I'm
would
concerned.
Think so. In a real court of law, but this is anything but a real court of law. Yeah, she never got a check from Donald Trump. That scumbag lawyer paid it on his own. I love that woman, Hicks, that was on because she called
Hicks.
Him the fixer to only fix things that he had already screwed up.
Yeah, this trial to me feels pretty cut and dry. But then again, where is the jury at? Where's the jury's heads at? Where are they going to?
Where this judge does his little speech to get them ready to go in and deliberate,
right.
And he will steer them. Well, I'm not going to say it. I'll let it come out in the open as it happens.
So we'll talk to a defense attorney on that because I think it's interesting what the defense is going to potentially do here.
Yeah. So graphic detail, she talked about this.
Yeah.
This is just
and again, the judge
did not have a TV.
The judge actually pushed back a little bit. Judge Marchand pushed back in the sense that we don't need to know all the details of what exactly happened. But of the more of what the relationship was, So we'll talk about that. Also, Israel and Gaza and Hamas and Israel just they went ahead and started their offensive in Rafah yesterday after it became apparent that Hamas had accepted some deal, but it was not good enough for Israel, so they went forward. So we'll talk about that too.
We talked about it yesterday. You can't have a deal that doesn't include Israel. I mean, they were saying Qatar is involved, Egypt is involved, the Hamas is involved, and I said to Mike, I said, yeah, you know what? The only thing missing is is Israel.
They're still talking about it.
Yeah. It really does. All right. Well, I know you're getting ready, and have a great show, and I know you will.
Thanks, Paulie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We'll look forward to that. Tomorrow, the city of Saginaw, the Great Lakes Bay region, gogreat.com, getting ready for the 2024 Memorial Cup presented by Dow. Lots to talk about there as we climb in our Dean Transportation with Kathy, thanks Kelly and Patrick, Dean, and everybody. Regards, Paul W. Smith.